Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Control Amplified. It's another special edition as we continue to talk with this year's newest members of the Process Automation Hall of Fame. Of course, I'm Len Vermillion, Editor-in-Chief of Control Magazine and ControlGlobal.com. And with me is Peter Morgan, who had a long career and distinguished career working with companies such as Syncrude in Canada and now Control Systems Design Services. Also a lot of work with ISA. So we're going to talk about all of that. So, but before we do any of it, Peter, welcome and congratulations on being named to the Process Automation Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you, Len. I'm quite honored to be admitted to this august group of process control engineers.
Yeah, it's a very, very robust group. And just so everybody's aware that the members of the Hall of Fame do all the nominating and selecting of the new members. So this is completely a peer honor for you. So just wanted to make you aware of that. Great. And so what we're going to do here today is we're going to get to know Peter, and we're going to get to know about his career and how he got into control engineering and so forth. So why don't we go back, Peter, and kind of start at the beginning, so to speak. And
How far back do you want to go?
Yeah, well, I know you have some interesting stories of when you were young and liked electronics. So I guess that's my first question. Well, how'd you get interested in this field that you've been in now for what, 40 plus years?
Yeah. I suppose I'm always was a bit of a nerd. And as a youngster, I was always interested in electronics. My ambition was to be an electrical engineer. And I do remember, I don't remember many things, you know, when I was really young, but I remember going to get my first germanium transistor, an OC71, which you can just still get on eBay, apparently. But boost the output of the crystal radio that I put together with the help of my father. But so it was an early ambition, perhaps genetic even, but you know, I, in my mind then, of course, I had no notion of what a control engineer was. Even then, it wasn't until later, through serendipity, that I was offered the position as a systems engineer. Just a little more background. I did, well, this was in England, of course, in the UK. And I did what was referred to as a student apprenticeship with the, can I mention the name, the Central Electricity Generating Board, the National Utility Company. And so it's equivalent to a co-op program. And through that, they sponsored me through my undergraduate degree, which was a BSc Honours Electrical Engineering. Now, I was sponsored by the CGB, and in my first position as a young professional, I was attached to a very large thermal power plant. It's a good opportunity if you're really into operations and such like. But I was looking for more, and that's when I applied to the nuclear power company, the British Design and Construction Company for Nuclear Power Plants. And I should tell you about the interview. I applied for something, and I'm not sure what the position was, but it wasn't the one I got. And they looked at each other when I was talking about what I would like to do, I think. And so, you know, said, why don't we get Tom in? And Tom came in, and he asked me if I was good at math. And I said yes. And so they offered me a job as a systems engineer
Okay. So is
in
that
this perfect surroundings in Cheshire with a stately hall. It was a bit like the movie, The Imitation Game, with a stately home and computers in the grounds and rhododendrons and so on. So that's where it all started.
Right. So then you were at the nuclear power group, so what were
Yeah.
you doing there?
A lot of simulation
Okay.
using for control systems analysis, performance prediction, disturbance assessment for performance and safety verification. And it's interesting, really. Initially, I was using analog computers on site, running 10 times faster than real time. And then at the same time, or around about the same time, a hybrid computer in London, England, which was noted to be the, I guess, the largest, most powerful hybrid computer in Europe. But that too for, control systems, performance assessment for two nuclear plants, one in Scotland and one in England. So it was very exciting. I thought I was pretty cool traveling, commuting to London. And, I've since looked where the building was. It was National Grid Control Center with this computing facility. And I don't know how they did it, but it's demolished now because it was like 6 foot, the walls were 6 feet thick for, security reasons.
Yeah, could I ask, like, I know you have mentioned before about, an accidental test of science. What is that all about?
Or the accidental MSC.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, we wife and I moved to Cheshire. Perfect setting. From the northeast of England, and I started in hindsight with little experience running transients on an analog machine, and then started the trips to London, and then one day, came back to the office and found that there's because of cancellation of a actually an Australian project nuclear plant and delays on other projects, they're going to be reducing the engineering staff. So I was one of the ones that were let go, first in, first out. But there was a silver lining to that cloud. I applied to Manchester University for, of all things, a lectureship. This was a center that was known around the world through the reputation of Professor Rosenbrock, who you'll see still see references and books to this day, multivariable control theory and so on. And again, I showed up, and I clearly didn't have the background at that time for a lectureship at that center. But I was offered a senior research fellowship. So. And with the opportunity to submit for a master's for the work I was doing. So I hope others, share in the same, can share the same kind of story about, the influence of other people in shaping their career, basically.
Great.
So then, actually, after, when I finished the term of my fellowship, I went back to the nuclear power company for quite a few more years,
Okay.
doing again using a hybrid computer. And I can't remember whether it was an IBM 360 or 370, but run a coding in actually CSMP, which was like Fortran. And running simulations at I think it was 3 times slower than real time instead of 10 times faster than real time. So, but a great experience for an engineer in his information.
Wow, really interesting. So I understand, and around what in around the 80s, you came across the ocean to
Across
Canada?
the pond, yes. Part adventure. We were going to certainly we're going to stick it out for a couple of years. So, that was Calgary, Montreal Engineering, and the mountains were a big draw, actually. We might have gone back because I was offered a position there after a couple of years at the in a consortium that I'd worked for previously. Then I'd been skiing with colleagues, cross-country skiing in the mountains a couple of days before, and I knew when I got there it wasn't going to work out, but they did offer that, surprisingly. I went through the interview and I was offered the position, but it was still in Canada. But
Right.
yeah, so
Well, how long were you in Canada?
well, from 19, we came November the 5th, in 1980, and we've been here since then. So,
I've been there since, and
Montreal Engineering,
yeah.
at the time, world projects around the world on power plants, hydro schemes, and in Alberta, the oil sands plants and utility plants. That was the night that was 1981, 1982, and the economy, and I think the economy everywhere was quite bad. So I left that company and joined Syncrude, so in 1984, 1984. It was all I worked till that point was it was enriching. I liked the work a lot. I've been in the fortunate position of not considering what I did as work,
That's
and
always
I
good.
just coincidentally wound up getting paid for things I like to do.
Right. So what did you do at Syncrude then? Where?
Well, I was recruited to join a team that would replace and modernize the control systems for the entire utility plant. There'd been a major shutdown plant-wide. Cost was immense, and the rightly or wrongly, some of the issues with the analog control system were blamed for the entire upset. So it was a courageous thing to do at the time, because replacing the analog system with a distributed digital control system. Not many utilities had done that at that time. That was 80, 84, 85, 86. And I was the basically the analog, the regulatory controls were my primary responsibility, and that's for there were three gas-fired boilers, two cokers, three steam turbines, two gas turbines, the steam letdown system. And it was a challenge, but it was rewarding. I was promoted through my efforts on that.
Wonderful.
It was white knuckled some of the time.
Right.
Actually, I find it much easier to enjoy working with simulators than with the real plant.
Why is that? What?
It's less nerve-wracking.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
I was known for taking off and getting an a Mars bar after a particularly daring maneuver or adjustment on the control system. So.
Okay. That's funny.
Yeah.
So you ended up retiring from Syncrude, right?
That's right. In 2005, the and we are ready to move somewhere else to Edmonton. And it was in Edmonton that hung up my shingle and started consulting
Right. So,
independent as an independent consultant.
yeah, let's talk about that a little. So
Yeah.
what is and for those of you that follow Control, you've probably seen Peter's name in our magazine and on our website. He's authored a number of features or articles for us and ISA and probably other people. So but in your with your consulting, what do you who are you consulting for? I mean, what kind of work have you been doing with that?
So I control systems design some for my former employers, Syncrude Canada. That work took me to Italy. It's ironic that only in retirement did I get a trip to anywhere other than the US for work.
Really?
But that was to actually to Florence in Italy. But what was I doing? I did work on the well known in the US the Keystone Pipeline pump control which was which I was happy to be involved with work at the University of Alberta here in Edmonton on a mo several modernization projects, burner management replacement, the replacement of or the upgrade of the digital control system to a more contemporary generation of the product. What else? The quite a few things, as I say, several burner management replacements. And I did that from 2000 and well, really 2006 to just before COVID, 2019.
Okay. So I wonder, in all that time, what kind of projects do you find the most interesting? Have you got any
Interesting.
stories from the front lines or anything?
Frontline. It's sort of a poor cousin, discrete control. I found some of the most interesting and challenging sort of projects or components of a project are designing discrete controls and sequencing, which I found quite satisfying. The control systems design. Of course, we rely a lot on experience when we're doing that. I think there's a lot of work goes into the detail of designing systems for reliability and for accounting for as many abnormal situations as you can imagine, something that is under stress, I think. There's this adage, and I never subscribed to it, that 20% of the work gets sort of 80% of the results, but the devil is in the details, and you have to work it right through.
Okay. One of the things you're known for is your, you've worked with ISA a lot. So how did you get involved with ISA and what have you been contributing?
Well, while I was at Syncrude, I as a sideline, so to speak, I because of my interest in it, I had a few articles published on Markov modeling and for reliability assessment of all things fuzzy logic, fuzzy PI, seemed to be all the rage then, and I actually. And it may be the only one. I built the first fuzzy PI algorithm in Syncrude, Canada, and it may be the only one that was ever built. But so and article another article on layer of protection analysis for safety integrity level at determination. In writing these articles, I always meant them to be instructive. And, my experience is when, well, especially papers, there's not necessarily a large component that you consider to be instructive. So I think these were quite popular. And how did I get involved in? More recently, if I can mention a name, actually it's Greg McMillan. Greg McMillan. Quite a few years ago now, actually it was 2000, again 2019. I responded to a call for contributions from those that were interested in participating with the development of this standard or technical report on the PID algorithm, and I put my name forward, and cut a long story short, Greg fingered me to lead one of the chapters on PID algorithms. So it actually was a project that quite a lot of work involved. It went on for 2 years, but published in 2023, which was, as far as the timeline goes, is apparently a record for getting something like that out. So, and there were other contributors to other chapters or sections, and contributors to my section. Was a great demonstration of how professionals with sometimes different opinions and certainly different experiences could come together and work together to produce something like that. The ISA 5.9. And since then, routine contributions to ask the professionals and contributions to your own. Magazine too, which I've been great
We've
job
got
of publishing them. I'm
yes,
happy.
we really appreciate that. So if I can, so you're somebody who's spanned a lot of different technologies, first for doing the job, second for how the job has control systems have changed. So why don't we start with like doing the job? So I find it, and I know I've read where you've talked about how the tools have changed. So how has the job changed in control systems engineering?
I'm not. Mean, the functions are different. I'm not sure that the job has changed. The, you know, the platforms are different. I never did. I can admit to tuning a pneumatic controller, but never really had. That was before my time, just about. But. I've worked with advanced modular analog controls. One of the companies I worked with in the UK, we had a that did the controls for the nuclear plants, and they had what was referred to as a boundless controller in pulse analog. modular. What has changed is the one, the convenience that digital control systems have brought to the work, and in that you're able to configure basically anything you can imagine. But I guess it goes back to, the processes haven't changed that much. The dynamics, the physics is the same. Our means of taking advantage of those characteristics through the application of control systems. The implementation has changed, but the thought processes are the same. And I think the required skills are the same of control engineers. We each approach problems differently. And it's come up recently. I think, my foundation as electrical engineer, created in me a greater comfort with dealing with the frequency domain. And time domain too, but easily lent into the frequency domain. And in terms of understanding stability and so on, we've had some very in the development of this standard technical report, with some very interesting discussions about phase shift and so on, but not all process automation engineers with a background, well, that have come from chemical engineering, don't have the same comfort, visualizing things in this sort of abstract way that considering the frequency domain is. So,
Well, I was going to move on to, I'm wondering if you would have any opinions on what the biggest challenges for this field going forward are. And I'm also going to ask you what opportunities you see coming down the pipeline.
I think it's difficult to predict what might happen with technology, but I mean, you see in hindsight how much has changed since the start of my career. But I think the greater concern is attracting people with inquisitive minds. To the field and retaining them in technical positions. Too often things are seen as a stepping stone to senior management positions where because not all companies offer technical ladders that allow individuals to achieve their ambitions but remain technical. And I think we are losing resources that way at quite a high rate.
All right. Well, Peter, we're coming up on our time, but before we go, I want to find out a little bit about what you do outside of work. I've got some interesting things. I know you mentioned cross-country skiing, but what else do you do?
What do I do? What I have done is because we're still, quite close to the mountains, is I've done a good deal of mountain climbing. I don't have the energy or the stamina to do some of the peaks that I've done in the past, but myself and my climbing partner, we only tackled peaks in the Canadian Rockies that appeared in calendars. So we could boast about it. But no, I do a bit of woodwork and enjoy the outdoors. It's easy to do that. Well, in our summers, we travel. Is in many years ago, I was in Japan on assignment. 80, 81, 82, but just a couple of years ago we went on vacation. We very much enjoy that. My wife enjoys travel. We have children here in Canada, take up a lot of our time. Well, the grandchildren do. Well, one of them in particular, the others are getting older. But yes, and I still I'm not done with writing articles in the field yet, so that
Wonderful.
yeah.
Well, that is the time we have today. So, Peter, once again, I'm going to congratulate you on
Well,
being
thank
named to the
you.
Hall of Fame. And I want to thank everybody for watching and listening, whichever medium you're using. And thank you all for watching.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.